and welcome to Dak and Rick's Pod. I'm Dak.
And I'm Rick.
And this is the Father Son Podcast where we talk about all things sports. And today we're here to celebrate our 1 year anniversary. About 6 months late, but hey, better late than never.
Congratulations, Doc.
Congratulations, Dad. It's been a true, powerful, amazing year where we've done a lot of things. Even with the restrictions of COVID, we still got to go to Orlando to watch the Heat on their first game back post-COVID bubble. We saw the Hurricanes losing the Cheez-It Bowl, and we made it all the way to the Miami Heat Arena, where we returned for the first time 1 year after the coronavirus pandemic started. So we did some pretty cool things. We also did WrestleMania, which we didn't air on the show. We just had a great time recording episodes for you guys. I know it's been a little while, but now we're back full steam ahead. Heat season just started. Hurricanes are kind of bouncing back. And the Dolphins, well, the Dolphins are still the Dolphins.
What can we say? Well, you know, I'm excited that we're back. I'm excited that we're going already to the FTX Arena to see the Miami Heat. We went today to the Hard Rock Stadium and we saw the Dolphins. Fortunately, not the outcome that we expected or we wanted.
But we'll talk about that in a minute. So
right.
Let's thoughts short. Let's talk about that 1 year, though.
That 1 year, well, it was a difficult year for everyone. And I'm glad that we were able to at least come out of it. And we're slowly but surely doing better. The economy is doing better. The sports arena is doing better. The people are doing better. And I'm just happy.
Well, this isn't supposed to be a somber show. So we are going to talk about that sports sector that you were talking about. And yeah, just congratulations on 1 year. Woohoo, fireworks, confetti. Let's go. Dak and Rick's Pod to the moon this year. Pump it. Let's go. Let's get us to like a million plays or something. I don't know. We're at like 200. I don't know. We'll figure it out somehow. But
slowly but surely, we're getting there.
But let's talk about them Canes because they had a big night I don't know when you're going to be listening to this. So let's just say Saturday, they had a big night as they defeated number 18 in the country, NC State, 31-30 in a major upset where young freshman QB Tyler Van Dyke led the Canes with 325 yards and 4 touchdowns. What do you have to say about that game?
He's just incredible. He's doing very nicely. I mean, he's a rookie, yet he is maturing into that position very well, very nicely. He's gained a lot of confidence. And his team around him is rallying around him also. They're supporting him, and he's supporting them.
They most definitely are supporting him, as we see Jalen Knight and his running back go for 21 carries, 83 yards, which averaged about 4 yards per carry. Then we see guys like Charleston Rambeau, number 11, 9 receptions, 127 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's really grown into a true wide receiver one and proved that the Canes did well picking him up in the transfer portal. So now let's talk about the little rumor that's been floating around is that Manny Diaz is on the hot seat and he's about to be ousted as Miami Hurricanes coach. What do you have to say about that news?
I don't know if he's going to be ousted yet, but he is definitely in the hot seat. I mean, what can we say? He's losing more than he's winning. He just won one. I mean, yesterday was an important win. It was a good victory.
Yes, especially when it's against the number 18 team in the country. But now Miami sits at 3-4. But not that great.
Right. Is that enough? Is that win enough to keep Manny Diaz around? I don't know. I know that they're looking into the athletic director. I know that they're looking into Manny Diaz. And I think that, things got to turn around really quickly. Do I think he's going to get ousted now in the middle of the season? I absolutely don't think he's going to get ousted. But you never know. That's the way sports goes.
Yeah, the Canes showed a lot of fight for their head coach. And if he were to have been ousted, at least I think they bought him a little bit more time. And it seems like, you know, although they're young, they're starting to figure things out. You got to remember, Van Dyke's a freshman. Jalen Knighton's a freshman. Elijah Rojo, he had one reception for 29 yards. He seems like he's going to be a big piece of that Miami Hurricanes future. He is a freshman as well. Keyshawn Smith, I believe. Let me see. Is that correct? Yeah, his name's Keyshawn Smith. I believe he's a freshman. And he had 4 receptions for 31 yards. Will Mallory, he's like the lone veteran. Mike Harley also there. Both had a total of 5 receptions combined, 1 touchdown combined. So, you know, it's a very young team. As you see on the defensive side of the ball, you have guys like number 0, James Williams, starting out there. So, you know, it's a very young team. I don't know what else to say. And you know what? Losing your star quarterback in Derek King, losing him for the season is rough. Or at least it seems for the season. I don't know if it was official that it's for the season. But with Van Dyke, I think you stay true to him. And I think you hold on to him because, you know what? He's rallying these guys. And he had 4 touchdowns last night. 325 yards, 25 for 33. That's a great performance against a number one, a top team in the nation, not a number one team in the nation, but a top defense in the nation. That's a great performance.
And you've seen how he's gradually grown into that position. You've seen how he's gradually matured into that position. I mean, last night you saw it. I mean, Saturday night, let's say, because we don't know when people are going to listen. Saturday night, he really showed how impressive his skills are. So, you know, again, going back to the Manny Diaz scenario, I think that, and based on what you just said all and named all those first-year players, I think that, you know, Manny's probably going to get another year out of this. We'll see. I know that people want him out. I know that the fans want him out. I know everyone wants to win desperately, and so do we. But the reality is sometimes, you know, these things happen in sports, and, you know, you have injuries, you have new players. You know, it takes a while for everyone to adjust, everyone to gel, for everyone to understand each other, work together. Remember, this is a team sport. So there's a possibility that Manny Diaz will be around another year. I don't know.
I highly doubt it, just because unless he goes on a tear here and wins a bowl game, which he hasn't done, that's like one major flaw of his. He hasn't won a bowl game. He hasn't made it to an ACC championship. He hasn't won the big game, the national championship. And you know what? In year three with veteran quarterback Derek King, I know now not how it panned out to be, but initially thinking veteran quarterback, you got guys like Bubba Bolden returning on the defense to teach these youngsters. You'd hope that that would have fostered a little better of a season than a 3-4 season where one of your notable wins is against some random team. I can't even remember the name. I'm looking it up now. Against Central Connecticut State, winning 69-0. That's one of your big wins. That should have been something expected, but everyone made it into something bigger because they had lost to Michigan State, because they had lost, because they had a close one with Appalachian State, and because they lost to Alabama, which really no one expected them to beat Alabama, but they didn't expect them to get whooped 44-13.
Yeah, that was tough. That was, I would say, almost an embarrassment. But anyways, we know Alabama. We know how good they are. We know Saban, Coach Saban, how popular he is and how forceful he is and how great that university is as a football team. So, you know, like you said, you know, they lost. Everyone expected it.
Now, but not as badly as
they lost. Could they have done better? They could have done better, and they should have done better.
And at that point, they still had a quarterback, Derek King. They still had a lot of hope for the season. I think that game, to be honest, just like was a gut check on the Canes and was like, well, this isn't their year. And, you know, losing in conference play against Virginia on a field goal. Because Jose is the brother. Andres Borregales doesn't miss field goals. It sucks that he missed that one. Canes ended up losing that one 30-28. And then losing against UNC. I didn't really watch that game. You did, where we lost 45-42 last week. Was another tough heartbreaker for the Canes, where they could have had that win. They should have, or they could have at least pushed it to overtime with a field goal, and then Van Dyke threw an interception, if I remember correctly.
That was heartbreaking. What happened there was heartbreaking. But anyways,
where now the Canes are 1-3 in conference, or 1-2 in conference play, excuse me. And as they head into their fourth conference game versus number 17 Pittsburgh, what do you expect?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. You know, like I said, now Van Dyke is grown. He's you know, obviously 2 or 3 games that he's played doesn't make you automatically a senior player. But you know, I think we have a good opportunity with him at the helm. I mean, you know how happy everyone was and how all the pundits spoke about Van Dyke, and you know, he proved it yesterday. So I have a lot of hope, and I think that if they continue to work out the team and if they continue to gel, like I said, and they continue to work together, I think there's a good opportunity.
Well, just to give you guys a little bit of a heads up, as I'm reading right now from DraftKings, the betting odds open right now as the spread being Miami -11. But the good thing about college football is you truly never know how a game will go until you get to watch it. So we will be watching it, and we will let you guys know how it goes on the podcast next week. Now let's transition on to the other football team down here in Miami, which is the 1-6 Miami Dolphins. Well, what can you say?
It's hard. We saw the game today. We saw the play today. On Sunday. Yeah, that's right. We saw it, and what can we say? You know, it's very hard to see your team lose over and over and over again.
And it's very difficult in the fashion they did. Miami rallied back on the back of Tua Tagovailoa, however you say it, pronounce his name. He completed 32 passes. He attempted 40. He got 291 yards, 4 touchdowns, but 2 costly, stupid interceptions that were unnecessarily thrown. And at the end of the day, those are game changers and eventually led to the Dolphins losing.
Well, what happens is that there you have a situation where you have a good quarterback that has good stats, but he's still immature. He's still not a seasoned quarterback in the NFL. And it shows because those critical interceptions led to 2 touchdowns. And one in particular, the momentum was where they fumbled. We got the ball.
Or I think we had just, Xavier Howard just ripped it out of his hand.
Right, that was a wonderful, that's correct.
An amazing interception by Xavier Howard.
Well, that's why Xavier is number one. I mean, you know, what he did there was memorable. I mean, it was beautifully done. And the bottom line is, we get the ball, we're in, you know, I wouldn't say, we weren't in the red zone, but where were we?
We were pretty close,
30. Yeah, 30, 40 yard line. And it had a perfect opportunity for us to either score a touchdown or at a minimum.
And instead of just taking a sack, he throws it directly to the linebacker. And then he returns it for another like 40 yards and gives them the ball on the flip side. And at the end of the day, what can we say? Mike Gesicki, though, had a great game, 7 receptions, 85 yards, 1 touchdown. Jalen Waddle, the guy who we mortgaged the entire Dolphins future for, got 7 receptions, 83 yards. Other than that, nobody else was truly notable on that receiving core. But one positive about Tua is at least he ran the ball pretty well when he broke away for those runs.
Yeah, he did a nice job running. He did a nice job, you know, trying to fake out the people who were going to tackle him, the defense. It was nice to see him run. But, you know, he's very cautious also. When he gets up, you see him touching his ribs. You see him touching his body. And you wonder, you worry, is he fit for the job? Is he ready to really move forward? Is he strong enough mentally and physically to do it? Just because he did it today on a couple occasions doesn't mean he's going to be ready to do it the rest of the season.
Well, we're going to have to now talk about the defense. We've spoken a lot about the offense. The defense been underperforming a lot this year. 30 points given up. At least they had one quarter, which was a shutout. As, you know, the first quarter they allowed 0 points. Second quarter they allowed 13. Third quarter 7. Fourth quarter 10. Look, not all those can be blamed on the defense because the offense gave them very poor positioning, as that interception led to a pretty easy touchdown for the Falcons, for a veteran team like the Falcons. And, you know, players like Xavier Howard are trying. Interception, Emmanuel Ogba forced a fumble recovered by Nick Needham. Those are two big plays, but at the end of the day, when you're allowing 30 points, you also can't put it all on your offense to completely carry the game. And they held their fair share. 4 touchdowns is a pretty good, you know, ratio of touchdown. Typically, 4 touchdowns will win you a game. But not when you're allowing, I guess, like 3 touchdowns and a bunch of field goals.
And how were they on sacks? Were they able to penetrate? Were they able to get to the quarterback enough times?
Javon Holland, the safety, had 1 sack, and that's about it. So, no, the defensive line could not penetrate him well.
Well, that's also, they have to figure out how they're going to become stronger, how they're going to be able to penetrate, how they're going to be able to put more pressure on the quarterback. Because, evidently, that's not enough. Otherwise, these quarterbacks are going to come in. I mean, I saw the guy standing there literally taking his time and throwing the ball. So, I mean, that's not a good sign when you give the quarterback that much time.
And especially a veteran quarterback like Matt Ryan. But now I'm going to just quickly go back to the offense because I just read this very, very, very important stat that I think we should all talk about. As Tua continues to get the blame and people continue to usher in the Deshaun Watson chance, I personally don't believe... I'm not in favor of trading for Watson. I don't know about you, where you stand. But look, the Dolphins gained over 400 yards of offense for the second straight week today. It's the second time in the last 5 years that happens for Miami, which shows at least progress because we saw in those first couple weeks the offense was not being explosive, was not trying to move the ball down the field. It really felt like you'd see a play like, I don't know how this goes through 2 offensive coordinators and supposedly the quarterback coach as well, that in your own end zone, you were going to throw a wide receiver screen where wide receiver has a defensive back right on top of him, causing the game to completely change. We win that game in Vegas without that play, losing the Dolphins all that momentum and also giving up 2 points in the process.
Yeah, I agree. But let me tell you, going back to whether or not Tua's our quarterback, I think that for right now, he has to be our quarterback. I think the Dolphins put too much into him, too much energy, too much time. And I think we have to give him more of an opportunity. I don't think bringing in Deshaun Watson is a smart idea at this point, especially with what he has pending with his
legal issues,
right? I don't think it would be a smart move on behalf of the Dolphins. However, having said that, we got to give Tua a little bit more time. It's unfortunate that, you know, sometimes they come to the Dolphins like Tannehill, you know, they play here and they don't make it, and then they go to another team and they're doing much, much better, as Tannehill's doing right now. But having said that, I think that Tua, you know, once again, time will tell, and we've got to give him a little bit more time. I know it's terrible. I know it's heartbreaking that we're losing and we're, you know, our momentum. And, you know, it's got to be devastating for the players. It's got to be devastating for their egos. It's got to be, you know, very difficult for them to move forward. But, you know, there's no other choice.
Yeah, there really isn't. And you know what? Winning is the only way. as the Dolphins will travel to, where are they traveling this week? I thought I would have it up by now. They will be traveling to Buffalo for their second meeting of the season with the Bills. That'll be a 1 p.m. game, October 31st, and we will be watching it to cover it for you guys. Hopefully the Dolphins can figure some stuff out, as they are now 1-6 and looking very, very desperate for a win, and very much in need of a shakeup to at least try and bring something, because the Dolphins do not own their first-round pick this year. They are currently the worst team in the NFL, and this is a very, very, very hard fall from grace after the expected 12-4 year, or I guess now 12-5 year, something along those lines. What were you going to add on?
Well, it's October 31st, Halloween. Maybe we'll get lucky on Halloween.
Yeah, happy maybe Halloween. Some spooky season magic right. Will work in the Dolphins' favor. But for now, we're going to go to our first break. And we're back to talk Miami Heat basketball, and the Heat started off the season great with a 137-95 win over the Milwaukee Bucks. And Kyle Lowry seemed to be a perfect fit for this Heat roster. Although he only scored 5 points, he had 6 assists in 24 minutes, and the Heat just looked dominant in that game, with the first quarter outscoring the Bucks 40-17. And also, what a great way to welcome in the FTX name.
I thought Lowry did great. He showed that he is the player that we're looking for, the player that the Heat needs. He works well with Butler. He works well with Bam. He works well with all the teammates. And he's so experienced. He's so knowledgeable. He's an expert in this arena. So I'm so happy that we got him, and I think he's going to make a difference, a powerful difference. He's a powerful presence, and I'm excited that he's here.
Well, the Heat definitely showed that they are ready to hunt for that Eastern Conference championship once again, as they proved it to the world champions and stopped Giannis to only have 15 points and 10 rebounds that night. And Jimmy Butler played great. He had 21 points. PJ Tucker, great addition from that world championship team of the Milwaukee Bucks. He had 8.6 rebounds. Bam Adebayo had a double-double with 20 points and 13 rebounds. Kyle Lowry already mentioned his stats. Duncan Robinson was shooting threes. Tyler Hero, we're also seeing the stardom of Tyler Hero begin. As that night, he scored 27 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. And, you know, everybody played their role on the team. They did a great job. And look, let's talk about in the 8 minutes of Omer Yurtseven playing. He had 8 points and 3 rebounds. And although he's not going to get much time this year as the Heat continue to develop him, he continues to show those little flashes every chance that he gets. He's showing flashes where I think in the near future, don't be surprised if you start hearing Omer Yurtseven as a starter for this Miami Heat team.
Yeah, I agree. He has great potential. I mean, his size, but it's not only his size. It's the way that he handles the ball. It's the way that he's able to play defense and offense. I mean, you know, for a young player, I think we're very fortunate that the Heat were able to acquire him.
We most definitely are, and he's going to be a big-time player for the Heat over these next few years. Let's just hope he can continue to develop like guys like Max Strus. Strusinator, tell me about him and your love for him.
Yeah, what I like about him is he's new, he's young, but he's very explosive. He's very exciting. He did a lot of three-point shots. And tell me about his night against the Bucks.
Yeah, he scored 5 points, but was very impactful off the bench. He had a very important block that led to a Tyler Hero shot. He had 2 rebounds and 1 assist, and he's definitely growing into his own on this Heat team and just proving that these youngsters will get time. Another youngster who got some time was Gabe Vincent, number 2. He proved great, great potential in the Olympics for Team Nigeria as he balled out over there. And now for the Heat, he had 7 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and he got the starting job this past Friday, I guess. Yeah, Friday, when the Miami Heat went up against the Indiana Pacers. Although it wasn't a losing effort, the Heat lost 102-91 and now sit at 1-1. Gabe Vincent got the start for the injured Kyle Lowry, who was out with an ankle injury. And Gabe, he didn't get that much time because it ended up being Tyler Hero who took over that point guard role towards the end of the game. But in his 25 minutes, he had 2 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists. Showing that the Heat have promising potential coming off the bench.
Definitely, and it's absolutely wonderful that Spoelstra, under difficult situation, which is the fact that the star is out with an ankle injury, but the fact that he was able to mix and match and put them in and give them playing opportunity, give them playing time, I think is very important for the future, for their future, for the Heat's future.
Yeah, and talking about the bench, we had another monster game from Tyler Hero. In his 41 minutes, he scored 30 points and 10 rebounds, having a double-double and being the first Heat player to do so off the bench, I believe. I hope I'm saying that stat right. If not, I know something. He was the first player to do something crazy style like that. Maybe it's before the age of 25. I don't know. But Baby Goat, he's arrived. He showed up. He's shown us finally what we've all expected after that Eastern Conference Finals run. We expected him to be back. And look, maybe it was having a full off season, something that a lot of people didn't give him credit for, that he didn't have a full off season. And you know what? Now he was able to add a lot to his bag. And he ended up being the Heat's most played player that night, with Jimmy Butler only trailing him by 1 minute, being in there for 40 minutes.
It's great to see him develop. It's great to see him grow. It's great to see him mature. When he first came in, he was so impactful, so wild. Those three-pointers, his aggressiveness towards, you know, towards the basket.
Let me just quickly say about his three-pointers. He had a beautiful shot that basically should have called the game, where the Heat got put up in, well, this was a final in overtime, so right. The Heat got put up in the fourth quarter. I thought I was watching Dion Waiters play when I saw him take a crazy shot. I was like, oh wow, we're back to that, huh? No, he made that thing. But continue on what you're saying.
Yeah, it was very nice to see him do that. Even though I don't want to compare him to any former player that's on another team. But having said that,
I was comparing him in a bad way, because Dion Waiters would have shot that and missed it terribly, and we would have lost that game. But continue on.
But anyways, the reality is, when you know, after last season, people were worried, is he going to come back strong? Was it a fluke that he was so good that year? You know, because he came in as a rookie and he became the baby goat, and he won against all these NBA players. And, you know, remember his situation with LeBron.
Maybe some people thought he figured him out.
Right.
That they thought that they already figured him out.
Right.
And it seems like there's no answer.
Right,
yeah.
There's no answer. He's good. He's developing. He's working. You know, because a lot of these players get to a certain point and they think that they've already made it. You know, it shows that in the Heat, that's not the case. It shows that the Heat are pushing him to be great. Well, and that he's pushing himself, that they're workers. They're not just there for the glory. They're workers. They're not expecting just, oh, I'm good enough. I can go and do a few three-pointers and that's good enough. No, no, no. And I think that a lot of that comes from Udonis, that work ethic. A lot of that comes from Butler.
Culture.
And a lot of it's a Heat culture, absolutely the Heat culture. But remember, weren't you the one that told me that everyone speaks about the fact that Jimmy Butler is there at 3 or 4 in the morning?
Yep.
Working out?
He's doing some crazy stuff, and somebody else is doing some crazy stuff. Bam Adebayo, he had his second straight double-double, this time having 17 points and 16 rebounds alongside with 3 assists. And, you know, bam, another one, a star in the making.
He's a star in the making. He's proven himself. He's proven himself that he's gotten better. Every season, I remember when Whiteside was there, and he was competing, and he was working. He wasn't really competing and wanting to take Whiteside's position, but he was competing and doing well, and he's grown so nicely into this position that he's in right now. And he works hard, he plays hard, and I just think he's one of our star players, absolutely one of our star players, and one of our future players.
And
I don't think he's here today and gone tomorrow. I think this is a Heat lifer.
Yeah, I think him and Tyler here are definitely the ones to lead the Miami Heat into the future, but let's hope now, with the present of Kyle Lowry and Jimmy Butler, we can sneak away with one or two championships during their little tenure.
Well, it's good to see the younger players with the more experience and more developed players like Butler and Lowry. It's nice to see Bam being able to interact with them, Tyler being able to interact, and what about Duncan? We haven't mentioned Duncan tonight.
Yeah, Duncan's my guy. I love him. He had a great performance against the Pacers. He had 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. He does Duncan things, and look, you know what? Him starting to improve that mid-range game is going to get a lot more of defensive attention, allowing him to get those open threes once again like he did when he first came into the NBA, where the Cavaliers assistant coach had to be looking up, who is this Duncan Robinson guy?
Right.
And, you know, let's just now, I think we should look ahead to Monday's matchup versus the Magic at home. The Heat are 1-0 when they're at home, so, you know, we can look at that in the positive note and not say that they're 1-1. They're 1-0 at home. They're 1-0 with Kyle Lowry. And the Magic, though, have always presented the Heat some issues. I don't know why. The Magic, at least in the last 10 years, have never really been that amazing where they should present the Heat trouble, but they always do. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think that the Heat, you know, I don't agree with you saying 1-0. I think it's good to say that the Heat is 1-1. I think that's going to give them a lot of
a chip on their shoulder.
Yes, I think that's going to make them, you know, I think that they're there stewing the fact that they lost this last game, and they don't want to make sure that they come back to the FTX Arena, back to their home field, and back to their fans, and that they win the game. So I think they're going to be hard-pressed not to take this seriously, not to take it lightly. I don't think they're going to have that attitude at all whatsoever. I think they're going to come back aggressive.
Well, now the Heat sit at 6th in the Eastern Conference. It's still very early on in the season, as most teams have barely even played their third game, as the Heat haven't even yet. The Heat now sit at 1-1, 6th place in the conference. Hopefully this time next week we'll be talking about maybe a 5-2 team that has now moved up to like 3rd place in the conference, but who knows? And we will be here to report on it when the time comes. But thank you so much for listening to this episode of Dak and Rick's Pod. We are so happy to be back. And welcome to Season 2 of Dak and Rick's Pod.
We look forward to having you along for the ride.
And if you want to join that ride, be sure to follow at Dak and Rick's Pod on Instagram. Be sure to follow my social media at Dak25 underscore. And be sure to check out every week. Some point in the week, we'll upload an episode. I think we've consisted maybe Sundays, maybe Mondays, maybe Saturdays. We still haven't decided what the new season will look like. But when we do figure it out, be sure to check out there, because that's when you will know. And thank you guys once again for listening, and we'll see you next week.